what's your name?
Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's show is sponsored by Deepak Chopra, who is speaking at the Queen Elizabeth Theater June 4th. Deepak will help you find your purpose, open your heart, and learn how uncertainty is the source of all possibility. He'll be speaking about his latest work, Reinventing the Body, Resurrecting the Soul, and the Ultimate Happiness Prescription, The Seven Keys to Joy and Enlightenment. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster, and I think next week probably I'm going to give away tickets. We have a few select, very, very small number of tickets to give away to the Deepak Chopra event. So make sure that you tune in and listen for the cue to call next Friday so that maybe you can score some free tickets to see Deepak. So today's guest is Dr. Paul DeBell, and he's the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. Hi, Dr. DeBell.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, Marie, how are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit? You're a psychiatrist, correct?
I'm a psychiatrist, yeah.
And so can you tell us a little bit about what led up to you writing this book?
Well, what led me to writing this book began with a synchronicity. I guess that's why I'm right for your program. You know, I was a religious person when I was young, when I was a kid, and when I went to college, I kind of lost interest in it because psychology had much better answers for me. And, you know, so I kind of set aside religion because I said, well, I don't see any sign of really there being an existent spiritual dimension. So until I see a sign, I'm going to just go on living my life as I would. So I became a psychiatrist, and I practiced for probably 15 years at it. And then when I was around, I guess, 40, I was on vacation in Brazil with some friends because I had some friends who lived in Brazil. And so they kind of liked to taunt me and say, well, you're so rational, you just believe in this, there's a bigger world than that. And I said, well, I don't really believe that because I haven't seen any sign. And so one gave me Jung's book on synchronicity. She said, well, maybe you can't digest this way we believe in Brazil, but try this. And so I was reading it, and I had this strange thought while I was, involved with reading it. I had this thought of going to the botanical garden there. It was Rio de Janeiro, and that a tree would show me the entry to the spiritual dimension. Now, that to me was kind of a bizarre thought because I had no belief in spirituality or even God at the time. And so I decided, well, I'm going to follow it because I like trees anyway. I'm a kind of person. I'm a tree hugger, so I would go up and hug trees. So I said, well, why not go and just see what happens? So I wandered around. It was a nice, beautiful, sunny Sunday morning, and just wandered around all the big, beautiful trees. Nothing really happened. And then I kind of just gave up. I said, oh, well, it's such a beautiful day. And I sat down on this bench across from a little scrawny tree. And all of a sudden I noticed, just as I was sitting there just enjoying the morning, this tree, this leaf floated down from this little tree right across from me and planted its stem right in my fist. So it was just like a leaf, like a 3 or 4 inch blade of a red leaf sticking up out of my hand, just like a feather. And to me, that was kind of incomprehensible because I couldn't explain how I could have this crazy idea reading this book and go as I had this thought and something that's really unlikely to ever happen. So that was my lead in that got me to be interested in synchronicity and interested in finding out what it meant, which led me to an interest in spirituality.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for writing the book, and thanks for being here today. I want to talk about how you know things are a message, because I was reading the stories in your book, and a lot of them seem really subjective.
Uh-huh.
So how does one know that it's not just some random happenstance, that it's actually a sign coming from the universe?
Well, the way in which you know it, it's... I guess my favorite response is always to say, well, first think of how you know something is really true in the material world, because then you have a just comparison, because you'd say the way in which we live our everyday lives is really kind of complex. What do we follow? We kind of follow our own intuition. We follow our own feelings. We make a decision, say, as to what we want to do when we grow up. We make a decision as to who we want to live with or marry. Or each of those decisions has a certain consequence. And we really only know whether it's a right decision or whether we were really making it based on wrong basis by how it goes over weeks, days, and even years. So the bottom line, and I think it's, again, being a psychiatrist, is you judge something by the fruits that it bears. How does it lead you? So you'd say that, yes, each individual message you can always question and say, well, it's subjective. But the way in which those messages fit together in an orderly kind of pattern, as you follow them, leads you in a direction that bears some fruit. In this case, since I'm interested in the way in which they kind of facilitate your spiritual development, that you see that your spiritual development is growing.
So it sounds like the most typical type of sign that you would get would be in relation to your spiritual development?
Well, so we're talking, if you'd say about synchronicity. So let me just be clear. Synchronicities can happen to people whether they believe in spirituality or not. They happen, all the time to people who have no beliefs, who don't interpret them as anything. They happen to people, say, in psi experiments. All things can happen to people, and people can give them almost any meaning they want. And again, I'd say that's just like everyday life, that we can live our everyday life as if there is no spiritual dimension, and people get along fine without that. But once you begin living your life being aware of the spiritual, you see that gradually more and more evidence that supports your belief and encourages you in a direction similar to what other people took. It's kind of a long-term validation that's the ultimate one, but as you get, I guess you'd say, better at it, you get, just like in everyday life, you get better discerning what's really going to lead you in a right direction or get you into trouble.
So it sounds like it's just sort of an extension of your intuition a little bit.
It's an extension, yeah. Everything always begins with intuition, but then you want to validate it. So how do you validate it? It's by seeing how it all fits together and where it leads you.
Wonderful. Well, there seems to be four elements of a message that you mentioned in the beginning of the book. Can we go over what those are?
Sure. Well, every message begins with a certain state of kind of preparedness, generally, I mean, although they can come out of the blue. But the thing that's marking of it is just exactly what you would say with the synchronicity, that there's an inner thought that you have that has a correspondence with a external event. That's what a synchronicity really is, where there's, Jung used the word acausal. That just means that we can't explain it by our normal understanding of cause and effect. Like thinking of somebody and, you know, a little bit later, a telephone ringing and that person being on the line, even though you haven't spoken to them in years. So that's kind of an example of a cause and effect relationship that psychology can't understand. So that in a message, there's always this element of kind of a correspondence between an inner thought, feeling, and an outer event that really you can't explain using anything other than saying, well, it was just chance or coincidence. So when that gets high enough, you begin to think, well, maybe something else is going on that. And then the other element, the main element, is the impact that this experience has on you. Because one of the things that I guess gets you more interested in thinking about messages is that you experience an impact, meaning a change in the way you think. So, for example, in what I was talking about with the leaf, the change in my mind was really the thought there really is a spiritual dimension. So at the moment that happened, I had this change in my thinking, whereas I hadn't believed in a spiritual dimension for like 20 years. Suddenly I knew I believed in a spiritual dimension, so there was a change in my thinking. So that was an inner impact that accompanied this message. And so I guess what I try and teach people in the book is how to become increasingly sensitive to these changes in your thinking that happen at times where you have a synchronicity experience, and that by thinking of the spiritual implications of that and applying them in your life, you begin to find more and more messages that kind of run in that direction, that help kind of give you a feedback, that help you to know whether you're really interpreting and applying it in a direction that's correct or not.
So thank you for that explanation. So I'm going to sum up the four elements, because it was written very clearly in your book.
Okay.
A material situation happens.
Right.
And then you have a heightened psychological state, for example, despair or desire for an answer to come to you. And then some kind of external event will happen, like the leaf. And out of that, inspiration comes.
Right. Yeah, so that's, and the key to it is really getting to be sensitive to, almost like you'd say, a connoisseur of those impacts and what they mean. And again, I'd say that there's nothing mysterious about it. It's because it's what we do all the time in situations in everyday life. We find ourselves in a situation and we kind of take a reading of it in our own minds. We say, well, what do we make of this? And you kind of see, and if you're in a kind of a friendly, happy environment, you'll think in one way. If you're in a kind of a threatening environment, you'll think in a wholly different way. And so this is saying, well, if you're really in a spiritual environment, you see your thinking begin to change in one direction or another. And by paying attention to that, you begin to get guidance for your life.
So would you say the main thing, I'm guessing that the main thing to look for is that feeling of like, ooh, this is something significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the beginning, the reason why I focus on messages is that ultimately as you go on, you can more and more rely on your feeling. But in the beginning, you need something a little more concrete to really help you to know whether you're interpreting the feedback right. So I'd say, again, as a psychiatrist, it's exactly the same way as it is in everyday life. Now, it's good for us to say to somebody, trust your feelings in everyday life, but I know if I just trusted my feelings, I'd be in a lot of trouble, because feelings always tend to drive you in one direction or another, and they don't kind of, mine at least, don't know balance like they should. We always have to use our intellect to kind of reflect on what the implications of this kind of, intuition is and how it applies in that situation. So it's the same thing with a message. If you keep the same frame of mind that you've developed for everyday life and apply that same kind of critical, common sense critical thinking to your spiritual intuitions, then I think you're off to a good start. If you just say, it's an intuition and I have to accept it without questioning, I say that's as dangerous in spiritual life as it is in everyday life.
All right, well, it's time for a break already. We are speaking with Dr. Paul DeBell. He is the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And we will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
Hey, I'm Wayne Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Today's show is sponsored by Deepak Chopra. He's coming to Vancouver on June 4th, and you'll be able to snag some free tickets next week, so make sure you listen in for the cue to call. Today we're speaking with Dr. Paul DeBell. He is the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. If you would like to get on the air and ask Dr. DeBell a question, the number is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. You can also tweet me on Twitter. My name was Spiritual Show, but I changed it to Marie Bernard, my real name. So you can message me on Twitter at Marie Bernard, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com if you're listening online and you have a question you'd like me to pass on to Dr. DeBell. Welcome back to the show.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Yeah. So you have a website where people can go and share their messages and learn what other people have to say about that. Can you tell us a bit about that site?
Sure. Well, to me, actually, that's the most interesting thing right now, because we live in an age of internet, and I think that that's changed pretty much the way all of us live in almost every area of our life, and yet it hasn't really permeated the spiritual dimension. So as I was writing the book, I found out a couple of things. It took me like 14 years actually to write the book, because it's amazingly difficult to kind of learn how to express your experiences in a way that they kind of hang together and that you can put them together. And so as I did, I gradually came to the understanding that the first step in really achieving a better understanding of messages is to begin to write them down as objective a way as you can. So almost just like you'd say a spiritual scientist, of just writing down what the experience is separate from the interpretation. Because we tend to want to jump from our experience to some interpretation that we've read somewhere or somebody else has had without really examining the evidence. So I began thinking, well, what we really need today is just like what happened in medicine, psychology, we need an evidence-based spirituality. But what stands in our way is that we don't really have a body of evidence like every other science has. And so it more and more came true what I had thought intellectually, that spirituality today is really in the same place psychology was 100 years ago, where people didn't think you could understand the mind at all. Now we think you can understand the soul, but that it's really because of our approach to it. So I decided, I began the website with the thought, well, let's gather together everybody's experience, because I can say in the book, really, I give my experiences, my interpretations of other people's experiences. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if other people would put their experiences online, you know, not just in any form, but in this kind of more objective, simple form, and separate their interpretations so that they would say, well, in everyday life, this is what happened to me. And this is why I think it's spiritual, and just to make a database that had that in. And what came to me as I was doing it, as I was setting up the website, as I began dealing with open source software, and I began dealing with Creative Commons kind of websites. Now, Creative Commons is like, say, gave rise to Wikipedia. What it is it's basically a philosophy of kind of free access and free contribution and interaction. It's a kind of setup where you begin to not look to experts so much, but to peers for kind of putting together the project that you want with you, with the resources that are available on the web. So I began thinking, well, wouldn't it be interesting, because actually I think we have enough expert opinion now about spirituality. You know, everybody has at their fingertips thousands of different expert opinion as to what to do. But what we kind of lack is a way of bringing together all of our experiences, all of our individual knowledge in a kind of a belief-neutral format. So what I did is I set up a website where I asked people to go and write down in an objective way as they can what their experiences are and to research other people's experiences. So you can go on the website, you can read other people's experiences, you can put a little bookmark in it so that you can always call that up with your own experiences. And that way, each person could use the website to almost like write their own book, to put together what their own evidence shows and how they draw upon other people's evidence without invoking this authority like, I believe in this tradition, I believe in that tradition, I believe in this. So it's to take a kind of a more objective psychological approach that I set up the website to kind of encourage people to create this, I guess I would say, to me, it's a new, more scientific approach to spiritual experience, where each of us learns to think for ourselves, but to follow a methodology that allows us to learn from each other.
Wonderful. And that website is decodeyourmessages.com.
That's correct.
Wonderful. And so people could either write it in a paper book, like into a journal, just whatever synchronicities they notice in their life, and then would they go back and look at it every day or every week?
Right. What I propose is that it's better if you do it on a website. So if you write your experiences right on the website, there's a place for everybody to enter in their own experience, and people can keep their own notebook on the website. They can call up all the experiences that they've written so that they can have access to their experiences and other people's experiences that touch them so that they can kind of pull them together there. Because what we really need to do is we really, just like in any science, we need to get enough evidence, enough data to kind of justify what we think. So by analyzing your own experiences in a more objective way, really what happens is that you begin to be able to analyze other people's experiences in an objective way and join them. Just like you'd say scientists join data from different centers around the world. So we can do it, again, without looking to authority, but looking to the knowledge that we all have. Because I'd say that we all have a little bit of knowledge, like the story of the elephant. We all have a little bit of it, but we're not using the means that are available to us to put it together. And so if we can use those means, the more scientific thinking developed by psychology and other sciences to kind of refine our experiences into this more objective shape, we can begin to pull it together so that each of us can use this resource center for our own, in our own way, you know, for our own goals. So in other words, I don't have an agenda of promoting a certain way of interpreting messages, except that I encourage people to be kind of structured and systematic, just like we all are in everyday life if we want to get ahead.
So can we break down the structure a little bit more so people are clear? Because I think you had met just a while back with, you did a conference, I think, with Robert Perry, the author of Signs, and his book is very specific. Like, it has to have X number of this, it has to be within 12 hours, and all of that. And yours is much more general.
Well, I'd say mine isn't more general, but I focus on are the spiritual implications of those. You know, and I've discussed it with him a number of times. My point of view on what he does is that he gets caught up in the material implications and the impact of this event on a material decision that you're making, whereas I'm less concerned with interpreting it in terms of the material events in your life. Yes, I still do a little bit, but I don't pay much attention. I'm kind of interpreting messages in a I guess you'd say, a more constant stream of more subtle messages in the context of my own spiritual life. So I have an issue, for example, that I might be working on, like, say, pride. If I'm working on pride, then all of my messages get kind of interpreted in relation to pride, just like if I'm in everyday life and I'm, you know, working on my profession, everything works around my profession, whereas if I'm working on a personal relationship, everything tends to go in that direction. So the difference between his approach and mine is he has all of these very high standards for what would be one of these events, and mine is a little bit lower and more general. But the bigger difference is that I interpret them spiritually more, and he's more on the material thing, although ultimately I think we kind of agree. You know, we've discussed and we said ultimately he uses his experiences in his spiritual life, but not quite as systematically as I do, because his focus is really on defining what these events are.
Okay, thank you so much for clarifying that. That makes much more sense to me now. So how do we, on the site, do people comment on, if you post a synchronicity, do people make comments on it? And
yeah, people can make comments. There's a comment site under everyone that everyone can see. But the interesting thing, let me go over a little more slowly about what bookmarking is, because it's like making a comment that you can access. So say what I encourage, because all of science and all of human experience, you say psychology, common sense, what do we look for? How do we learn from somebody else? Now, I learn from somebody else if I'm in a situation, I hear them tell a story about what might have happened to them in their life. Now, that story isn't going to give me a direction and tell me that I should do exactly what they do, but it's going to kind of give me a little bit of information that then, based on my experience, I'm going to kind of transform and say, well, I'm not that person who does this thing, but I'm this person who does this, so that if I kind of put myself in their shoes, so to speak, this experience would mean this. So it's the way we learn from people in everyday life. We take their situation and we kind of transpose it into our situation. Now, in spirituality, that's what I'm setting up these bookmarks to do. So you go there and you look at an experience and you can search them based on the different topics in the book, whether it's on your intention, whether it's on your attention, whether it's on how you apply principles. There are all these different chapter headings. So you search it and you say, oh, this one experience really is interesting to me. So you kind of bookmark it, and then there's a place in the bookmark for you to write a comment of your own. This is my interpretation, what I want to remember that I take out of it. Then in the future, you can go back and you just, there's a button you press and you say, my bookmarks, my experiences, and all the bookmarks that you've had with all of your comments can be seen right on one page or separately, or you can integrate them with your own experiences. And so it's a way of sorting the data, so that it can begin to make sense in your own terms, and you can begin to get used to how do you learn from somebody else's experience.
Cool. Okay, again, so that website is decodeyourmessages.com. It's time again for a break. If you would like to get on the air and ask Dr. DeBell a question about synchronicities and spiritual messages and how to decode them, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. 2487. We're speaking with Dr. Paul DeBell. He is the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And if you want more information about that and to learn from other people's experiences, you can sign up on his website, decodeyourmessages.com. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
One, two!
Hey, I'm Wayne Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with me. If you ever want more information about the show, you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com or mariebernard.com. Right now, they're headed to the same site. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Marie Bernard. Today we are speaking with Dr. Paul DeBell. He is the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And he is also a psychiatrist, so he has lots of experience dealing with psychological stuff. And if you have a question about decoding spiritual messages, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Welcome back to the show, Dr. DeBell.
Thank you, Marie.
So we've spoken about your website, which is decodeyourmessages.com, and I want to talk about hindsight. How can we look back and decode past events? Like, say maybe we haven't written them down. Do you have any tips for people who think, well, maybe this was significant then, but I didn't make note of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I suggest people, in fact, to start writing is not to write with things that just are happening, because you're less certain about it, but to start off by writing about the things, the experiences on which your beliefs rest. Because that's always a very interesting kind of thing to kind of draw. It's almost like a faith history. There are lots of people who encourage these writing out of the history of the development of your own religious and spiritual thinking. And so with that, as I guess you get the idea, I'm interested in the evidence on which those beliefs are based. So that, because so much of our spiritual life goes into reading one or another kind of theory and kind of applying it in our life, and we gradually lose base with what our own experiences really mean, because they seem so, I guess, flimsy relative to this immense spiritual dimension that we feel like we're in touch with. So the first thing that I advise people to do is to really sit down and think carefully about what experiences have they had in their life that justify a belief in a spiritual dimension. And what exactly was the experience, and what was their interpretation? What did they do as a result of it? So by separating out those pieces, you begin to develop a little bit of the skill of saying, well, I had this experience, like with my leaf. Now, you'd say, most people, if you told them that, they'd say, well, how is that spiritual at all? I don't get it. That just doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. For me, it was one of those turning points in my life. So it's not really the material event that's so important. That's kind of the marker. It's what it begins to do and how you begin to kind of come to terms with this more subtle flow of, I guess you'd say, spiritual energy and direction in your life. So that's the first hint. Write it down. Start with the beliefs on which the experiences on which your beliefs are based, and then you can build from that into your present life.
Wonderful. And in your book, I forgot to mention, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver, and this is Synchronicity. You mentioned spiritual ADD quite a bit in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one person, Haley, who was so stuck in love, mm-hmm, that her life and work was suffering. And when I was reading that story, I mean, you're a psychiatrist, so you have a lot of experience with mental health and all of that. When I was reading her story, it sounded kind of like she was having a bit of a manic episode, not a spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they kind of go together, because you'd say the ecstatic states you find with, even you'd say the saints throughout time, really do resemble kind of manic episodes, and that a person gets so elated, so full of emotion and feeling and grandiosity, I guess you'd say, of the closeness of God, that they begin to lose touch and interest in everyday life. So it's always a hard thing to kind of discern what is, in fact, a mental problem and what is really a spiritual state. So you'd say one of the things that you'd say would define it as being a spiritual state, looking back, is that when she finally realized what was going on, she could kind of stop it. Whereas if it were a real manic episode, you couldn't. Now, when she was in the throes of it, you know, you're right, it sounds very similar. And the way in which, I guess, I would say, now, how do I as a psychiatrist judge these kind of spiritual states? You know, my take of the evidence and the kind of experiences that I've collected is that the bottom line is that a person shouldn't do anything that goes against common sense as a result of a message. I guess that's one of the safety valves that I think, if you're going to interpret your own experience, if you're going to always rely on your own experience, you have to make sure to stay pretty close to reality. So I would encourage people, obviously, in telling the story of Haley, who became so filled with God's love that she forgot about her child and her helping her child in the normal problems with school and life, that people should make sure not to do that. That they should make sure not to act in ways at work, for example, that make them seem strange and, you know, not able to get ahead because they think that that's spirituality. Because I think spirituality is something more invisible. It's our own individual relationship with the spiritual dimension and doesn't depend on these. So I understand how you can think of it as possibly being manic, and I had the same thought I was writing it, except since I knew the person who had it, I knew that it wasn't.
Okay, fair enough. While we're on the topic of mental health, I'm curious what your opinion of schizophrenia is, because a lot of people, a lot of psychics, even for instance, Sylvia Brown, who's a very famous psychic, she openly talks about, you know, if she went to a doctor and described all of the things that she had, you know, hearing the voices and seeing visions and all of that, they might probably diagnose her with schizophrenia. So in your practice, do you come across people who, I don't know what I'm saying here, but
I understand the question. So the answer is yes. It's a very common kind of thing that you have to help people sort through. I mean, I talk with a lot of different people, you know, who have lots of different spiritual interests. You know, and they do hear things, they do communicate with spirits, they do have lots of different things. So I hear that all the time, and that's very different from schizophrenia. Because, and you'd say why? Because in any condition in medicine, schizophrenia or anything, you'd say it's never one or two symptoms, but it's really a symptom cluster that's important. And the bottom line with schizophrenia is really it's not simply having a hallucination. It's not simply hearing things, meaning that aren't there. What it is it's an impact on the totality of someone's life so that their judgment becomes increasingly impaired. So the degree to which you'd say an illness really has to bear on somebody, and schizophrenia has a very strong kind of impact on people's lives, that you judge it by the consequences, again, of it. Does it cause somebody to lose their work? Does it interfere with their interpersonal relationships? Does it cause them to lose judgment, for example, and tell everybody they meet that they're hearing voices, as opposed to being aware that most people will think they're crazy for saying it? Do they have some kind of judgment in those issues, or are they just kind of really over the line?
Okay, thank you for explaining that.
But since I've worked with schizophrenia all my life, to me, there's no problem at all in telling the difference there. It's a very clear difference.
But now with schizophrenia, my mother was schizoaffective. Mm-hmm. So she had a lot of experiences that she believed were spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they were. I mean, do you discount people's experiences a little bit when they are suffering from something like that?
You know, it's just like what I said before, interpreting messages. The bottom line comes to, just like everyday life, how you put them together. Because you'd say, what we're most interested in our everyday life is pulling all of our experiences together in a way that makes a coherent, satisfying, fulfilling life. That kind of helps us to develop our potentials and to kind of become the person that we should or could be. And the same thing is true with spirituality, so that you say even if somebody who had a mental problem had a spiritual experience, the real question is what you do with that experience. You know, somebody could connect with the spiritual dimension, but they may interpret it incorrectly, just like they misinterpret somebody looking at them, meaning they might want to kill them or something like that. So a person would be just as vulnerable to misinterpretation of their spiritual experiences as they are of their everyday experiences. And it's only by how they put it together in a coherent way in this line, and raise the question, of course, what is spiritual development in their own kind of standard of what would mark spiritual development.
Okay, thank you. And so we've talked about mental illness, and obviously our bodies can get ill, but can our souls get sick?
Yeah, I think so. I think that our souls get sick. Well, and you'd say a mild case is like a touch of the flu, I'd say, all the time, living in New York City, being bombarded by materialism, by being bombarded by all of the influence of the media, which is really not particularly spiritual in general, except for shows like yours. It affects our thinking. And our thinking really kind of sickens us. And you'd say, well, what's the evidence of that? I think that the most important thing to me, if you say, well, what is spirituality? How do you know it? It's in the basics of spirituality, which is the practice of ethics. So I think that to the extent to which an individual, say myself, if I began to see myself not being as considerate of others, not being as kind, of being under the influence of kind of the environment, that I'm beginning to suffer from a kind of a sickness of my soul, because my soul no longer is strong enough, just like when you have the flu, to function in the way that it can in an optimal environment. And so I think that, again, there are all different kinds of levels of sickness or illness, or you could say, I would say that somebody, for example, who hears about a spiritual dimension and completely dismisses it, it's as if their soul really is blind, because their soul isn't interacting with their mind in a way that helps them to see things that have spiritual truth in them.
Okay, thank you. And it's time to take a break already, so we will be back again with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. We are speaking with Dr. Paul DeBell. He is a psychiatrist and author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And also, if you would like to share your messages and read other people's messages, you can go to his website, decodeyourmessages.com. Check that out. There's more information about the book there as well. We'll be back in just a second.
Our house, in the middle of our streets, our house.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to support In the House Festival. From June 4th to June 6th, the festival brings performances to a living room or garden near you.
With 19 shows over 3 days in a dozen houses, this year's festival is bigger than ever. With music, dance, comedy, and theater, there's something for everyone.
In the House Festival brings together Vancouver's artistic talent in intimate settings to strengthen our neighborhoods and foster community. Tickets are available at High Life Records or online at inthehousefestival.com.
In the House Festival, June 4th through June 6th. In the middle of our streets, our
house. Chopra, you're listening to Synchronicity.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking today with psychiatrist Dr. Paul DeBell. He's the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And if you'd like to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 604-822-2487. 604-822-2487. Welcome back to the show, Dr. DeBell.
Thanks, Marie.
So I just got a question on Twitter from In The Now 55. She would like to know if you have anything to say about animal encounters. A couple days ago, I had posted on Twitter that I was walking at the park and I was feeling pretty sad. And that was the whole reason I was at the park, was to get out of the house and hopefully feel better. And I'm walking along and a crow flew into the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I kind of thought like that might, I don't know if it was just like a weird thing crows do sometimes, or if it was the universe trying to tell me to snap out of it.
Well, let me back up before giving the exact answer that I would give. If it happened to me, I would certainly take it as a message and not an accident. But I think that what's the most important thing in the beginning is to really start off taking and examining messages that kind of make sense to you. In other words, I'm struggling because I think that message would make sense to me. Something hits you in the back of the head and kind of it is like a snap out of it, and I would take it like that. So I think the simple answer is that I would take it and just begin to, again, see. Sorry, there's so many complex things I'm trying to filter out because it gets me into difficult waters. But what I would say is that the more you decode messages, the more you see in every single event in your life a message, a kind of feedback. And so the only way, and I say it's just like in everyday life. You can start off in saying, well, I'm only going to pay attention to the obvious things people point out to me and not to their body language. I'm not going to pay attention to the vibes I feel in a situation. So if you do that, you kind of get in trouble. And it's the same thing with messages. If you only pay attention to the ones that are kind of formatted in a way that kind of meet your criteria of proof, you begin to lose their bigger significance, that they're a part of the feedback that we get. And the more that you really kind of cultivate an awareness of every event and everything that happens in your life as having a spiritual level as well, the more you're able to put it together in a coherent way. So I would encourage somebody who had an experience like a crow flying into the back of their head when they were feeling that way to begin to take it as a message and to try and act on it, to try and see, well, what was it implying and what do they need to do in order to kind of snap out of it. Now, one of the points that I always make, you heard with my messages, is that when a message comes, what it brings is a certain alteration in our attention, so that the closer to that event that a person can make the connection and say, gee, this is telling me to snap out of it. What do I need to do to snap out of my depressed thoughts? You know, right close to that event, they'll begin to get a clearer idea of what to do. And by acting on that kind of intuition and seeing the outcome, that's how you begin to decode more and more of the messages in everyday life.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, it obviously was some kind of, like, it felt like a snap out of it, and mm-hmm. It made me smile. I was kind of like, that was really odd.
That was your experience. I thought that was the Twitter person's
experience. No, that was my experience. But she was asking because I had posted it on Twitter. What happened actually is that people started looking up, like, the symbolism of crows. Do you look at symbolism of objects to decode messages?
Well, I say I'll tell you, it's exactly the same thing as somebody asked me, do I interpret dreams in psychiatry? And I'd say, no, I don't really pay attention to dreams because I think it's much closer than that. The things that we need to pay attention to are much more obvious. Now, I'd say if you're a person who naturally pays attention to symbols and to, for whom symbols are important, then messages will frequently use symbols. If you're a person like me who doesn't use symbols and kind of pushes them aside, then the messages take into account that aspect of our character, because it's kind of an interaction between us and spiritual reality in the same way that everyday life is an interaction between us and material reality. So we just want to get fluent in getting this feedback in a way that kind of fits our mind and our orientation. So are you a kind of person who looks at symbols?
Not too much. I mean, if I'm really trying to analyze something and figure it out, then, like in this situation, I was like, well, maybe it means something else. And so I was looking up the symbolism. And a lot of times crows mean death, and there's a lot of different things. But generally, I'm a pretty literal person.
Yeah, so I'd say that you do better than sticking with just the literal interpretation. Because as soon as you start going off in the other directions, you lose the faculties that you've developed in everyday life for interpreting situations. So if you'd say, no, I look at the symbolism in everything and in my everyday life and it really helps me and does well, I'd say, great, then interpret it symbolically. But if you're a literal person or like me, I'm like you, I, in fact, deliberately don't look at symbolism because I don't want my messages to begin taking that into account and becoming more and more abstruse and difficult to understand. I'd rather that they have to hit me over the head in a quite literal way to kind of nudge me in the right direction.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, because I feel like that too, because when you start to look at the symbolism, when there's one thing, it can mean so many different things when you're analyzing symbolism, and then it just gets completely confusing when the first thing was it hit me in the head and I was like, well, that's like snap out of it.
Right, you know? Snap out of it. So then, that's what I'm saying, and then the closer you can get to that event, so snap out of it. How do I snap out of this? And then you see what comes to your mind, whether in fact there's an impact in it. And then you say, well, and it gets down to, let me put it a different way. So there are a couple of ways of interpreting messages, and this is a good example. You could say, well, it has to do with my material life. I was thinking about this problem, and, you know, I shouldn't do this. Or you can say, well, you know, this really has spiritual implications. You know, something is going on in my spiritual life that's in fact kind of heavy for me and difficult and I'm struggling with. And this event is in relation to what's going on, not in my material life so much, but really my spiritual life and what I'm struggling with. So you always have those two options of saying, well, what is this feedback in relation to? And I nourish the interpretation of it in relation to my spiritual life. And I kind of ignore the implications of what it might mean in the material events, although obviously they're kind of connected in a meaningful way. But my mind always takes the material well enough into account usually, but I tend to ignore the spiritual implications of something like a crow flying into my head.
Okay, thank you. And we just have a few minutes left in the show, so I want to put your website out there again, decodeyourmessages.com. We're speaking with Dr. Paul DeBell. He's the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And just in the last few minutes of the show, I'd like to really talk quickly about how you use cognitive behavioral therapy to overcome resistance.
Okay. Well, cognitive behavioral therapy is today's therapy, really. It's based on our using our thoughts to kind of change behaviors and change emotions. So it says, well, the way in which you kind of take charge of something is through kind of an educational process. So if you educate yourself, I want to be... I'm just trying to think what comes to my mind. If you're in a situation, whatever situation you're in life, say you're shy and you have anxiety. Now, a person could always be shy and anxious and just feel that's the way the world is. But cognitive behavioral therapy sets out a very organized program for challenging that thought, which is based on many misperceptions. So the misperception is that people think that I'm stupid. People think that I'm ugly. Nobody is interested in me. This is what goes through most shy people's mind. They won't find me interesting or enjoyable. So I better just stay off. When if I ask them a question and they don't pay attention, it's because they know that I'm that way, where it's probably it has nothing to do with what you're thinking. So cognitive behavioral therapy has this whole system of breaking things down and how you fight against it. Now, what I add on to that, I say, well, this is an excellent format, a material format for us trying to solve our problems. But what spirituality believes is that someone doing something with, say, a spiritual intention, say, asking for God's help with this problem, and doing cognitive behavioral therapy with a problem will be able to be more successful than if they just did it with cognitive behavioral therapy alone. So cognitive behavioral therapy means essentially the best available approach to solving your problem by psychological means. So if we add on to that our spiritual intention by saying, I see I'm powerless and I need God's help. God, help me with this. I really need help. That's going to add an increment. It's not going to be a miracle. You're not suddenly going to overcome, say, shyness. But what's going to happen, it's going to give you a little more courage in a situation so that you can follow step by step these very well laid out treatment plans in cognitive behavioral therapy. That's a fancy word, but if you think self-help books, almost every self-help book on the market is a version of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's how you use your mind and your intelligence to overcome a problem in a rational, systematic way.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. DeBell.
Really, thank you for having me, Marie.
And I'm just wondering, is there anything that you would like to add or leave us with today?
Well, the only thing I would do that we hadn't really touched upon is the importance of intention. And in spirituality, everything really has to do with our intention in doing an action. For example, if you do an ethical action, it's always good. But if you do an ethical action because you believe it's a spiritually correct thing to do, it has a different impact on your character. That's a whole topic in itself. But I just wanted to say that one of the ways of understanding messages and getting beneath the surface is beginning to pay attention to how they might be a comment on your intention and the way in which you live your spiritual life. So I'm always thinking, well, how much priority, how much force am I really putting into my spiritual life? And that messages are kind of comments on that. You know, whether I'm doing it just for psychological well-being or really I am doing it to really connect to the spiritual dimension.
Oh, well, thank you so much for your time today, Dr. DeBell. It's been
thank
wonderful
you for
speaking
having me,
with
Marie.
You. Take care. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
So that was Dr. Paul DeBell. He's the author of Decoding the Spiritual Messages of Everyday Life, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. If you'd like more information about his book or you want to check out where you can put your messages and read other people's messages, go to his website, decodeyourmessages.com. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your questions. And tune in next week because Deepak Chopra is sponsoring this show. He's coming here to Vancouver to the Queen Elizabeth Theatre on June 4th. Tickets are at Ticketmaster, but I've got a couple pairs of tickets to give away next week on the show. So you're going to have to be really keen and listen for the cue to call next week. So make sure you tune in because I have got lots of people who have their eyes on these tickets already. So we will be back next week with more synchronicity. Up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive. And to close the show, I'm going to play a song by Tim Steinruck. He is a Vancouver musician. This is from his album God's Chair. And I believe the song is called Dream. Have a wonderful weekend. Be well.